Today, household debt and mortgage stress both move higher. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The Reserve Bank just released their most recent household ratios, and these are the ones that give us an insight into what's really going on inside household finances. And here we're discussing the E2 selected ratios for household finances. And the table of information is relatively easy to follow, but has quite a lot of detail in it. So what I've done is to create a few charts to describe what's going on a little more easily. So we're going to start by looking at the household interest payments to income ratios. Now, this data is to March 2019, so this is before any of the rate cuts, before the election, and at a time when lending probably was at its lowest level. And what the information from the Reserve Bank shows us is that household interest payments to income is now sitting at 9.1. Now, that ratio is somewhat lower than it was back in 2008 before the GFC, when it had got up to close to 13. And you can see that there was a reduction thanks to low interest rates through 2008 and 9, and then a rise. Then it's been drifting lower as interest rates were cut. But since 2014 and 15, despite ultra-low interest rates, a greater proportion of income is going on interest payments. And they also provided separate data on housing interest payments, and the current score then is 7.6. And you can see a somewhat similar track, with a peak prior to the global financial crisis, a significant fall, a run-up, a further fall with rates being cut, and then a further rise. Now, this is the one chart that many spruikers are using to justify higher debt. The argument is that serviceability is easier simply because interest rates are so much lower, so therefore households can afford to borrow more. But I'm afraid to say I think that's a very myopic view of the situation. Now, there's one other interesting dimension here, and that's the relationship between the amount of household debt and the assets that support it. And again, this is to March 2019, and I should say that this data does include all households, whether they're borrowing or not, and it also includes small and medium enterprises. So, to an extent, the data is somewhat warped, but nevertheless, the trend over time does tell us something quite important. So you can see there that the household debt to assets is sitting at around 20.5. And in fact, you can see there's been very little change way back in 2008. Now, that's quite interesting because, of course, we know that asset prices have run up, but we also know that household debt has run up, so they've pretty much tracked line and ball. But then if you look at housing debt to housing assets, that's a lot higher. And here you can see that despite everything, we're sitting now at 29, which is pretty much where we were before the GFC, a slight correction after the GFC, a run-up, then a bit of a drift down. But now the amount of housing debt to housing assets is back up to an astronomical 29. And that's a very high ratio. And remember that that includes all of those households who have no debt at all. So you can assume that the one-third of households who have a mortgage have a much higher ratio than this. Now, the next one we can look at is the household asset to income ratios, again, to March 2019. And here, because home prices are falling, overall asset values are falling. That means that net worth is falling. And therefore, the ratio is now at 927. And this, of course, is the negative wealth effect in action. The housing assets to income has dropped to 483. And what that shows you is the amount of leverage relative to income is falling. Whereas the household financial assets to income, because the value of shares has been rising since the earlier on in the year, is now at 416.5. So this shows you that relative to income, housing asset values have dropped considerably, whereas other financial assets are continuing to rise. But the most important ratio, in my view, is the household debt to income ratio, again, to March 2019. And this has now risen to a new high of 189.7, which means that households are more leveraged than ever, and on an international basis, as well as a trend basis, this is pretty astonishing. And we can also look specifically at the household debt to income, that's at 140.1, and again, it's rising. So more of income is going on housing debt than before. And even owner-occupied housing debt is now sitting at 109.3, and you can see there the significant run-up in recently. That is because investment mortgages are hardly growing at all in recent times, whereas owner-occupied housing has been growing at 5 or 6% per annum, much higher than income. So this shows you that we are highly leveraged as a country, and households are bearing the weight. Now let me turn to the DFA mortgage stress results for June. This is basically information taken right up to the end of June, so it does include since the first rate cut. But remember that the interest rate cuts would translate to lower mortgage repayments in the subsequent month to 6 weeks, depending on when the implementation flows through from the banks. So we haven't really seen much impact yet of lower interest rates flowing through. As a result of that, the mortgage stress measure came out at 32% of households now in mortgage stress. Now that's on a cash flow basis, so we're looking at money in, money out. 32% of households are struggling with cash flow, struggling to make their mortgage repayments and manage their household budgets. That measure is as high as it has ever been since I've been tracking the series right back to the year 2000. Now, a few other interesting dimensions on here. The CPI is bumping along the bottom, of course. We know that the cash rate has been cut recently and, of course, was static since November 2016. We know that mortgage rates have dipped down just a little now, and we expect to see mortgage rates falling a little further. But, of course, lower mortgage rates doesn't necessarily translate into lower cash payments being made by households on their mortgage repayments. It depends on whether it's a fixed loan or a variable loan. It depends on whether it's an interest-only loan or not. And it depends on whether they reduce their payments down or not. And of course, wages growth has been bumping along the bottom. We've been flagging this, that income is growing much more slowly relative to the cost of living and also relative to the bigger loans that people are taking. And just to reconfirm what we said before, the household debt ratio, this is reading off the right-hand scale, is at 189.7. That's the highest it's ever been, and just signals again the amount of debt in the system. So just taking analysis slightly further, this is the information at a state level, and it's worth highlighting that stress continues to build in the West. This is because we've had long years now of flat wages, cost of living rising, and of course home prices falling. And therefore, relatively, more Western Australian households are in difficulty, and that is now translating into higher default rates, more than 3%. But we're also seeing stress continuing to rise in the eastern states, particularly New South Wales, Victoria, and Queensland. And the rise in severe stress in New South Wales is very concerning. We've now got nearly 16,000 households registering in severe stress. And overall, nearly 300,000 households in New South Wales in difficulty. Now, many of these are living in the urban fringe, quite often in relatively new property, highly leveraged property, and values there are falling quite fast even now. And some are also living in the high-rise apartments in the outer suburban areas, for example, North Ryde, and there property prices are very compressed And we know that values there are under pressure. In fact, there was an article in the Real Estate Conversation today that highlighted prices dropping $150,000 in North Ryde. So the total number of households in stress is 1,063,000 and counting. And the number risking default over the next 12 months is up to 70,900. I also just want to touch again on our segmentation, because it's worth highlighting that those in mortgage stress are not just the battlers, not just those living on the urban fringe. We have a high proportion of households who are more affluent, the exclusive professionals, the mature stable families, and the young affluent households. Now, this is because they have been able to get much higher leverage from the banks, have multiple properties, including investment properties, and are now struggling to maintain their lifestyle, their mortgages, and their cost of living. And not surprisingly, therefore, the number of those risking default is also on the rise. And I think it's important to understand that mortgage stress is not related solely to low income levels or those living on the urban fringe. It's a much more complicated picture. And indeed, really, you have to go down to individual postcodes to understand what's going on. This is the information based on the top 20 postcodes in stress. The postcode with the highest level of stress at more than 7,980 households registering in stress is in New South Wales. It's 2560, and it's the areas around Campbelltown. The second most stressed postcode is postcode in Queensland 4350, which includes places like Toowoomba, and there 7,500 households are now in mortgage stress. From there, we come back to Sydney to 2170 to the area around Liverpool and Warwick Farm. And there, 7,290 households are in stress. We go down to Melbourne next, to Narre Warren, to 3805, and there more than 7,130 households are in mortgage stress. And then we go back over to the west, to areas around Tapping and Wanneroo. In 6065, there are more than 7,000 households suffering mortgage stress at the moment, and 177 are risking default over the next 12 months. We then go back to Victoria, to Berwick and Harkaway, to 3806, and there more than 5,400 are in stress. And then we go back to Western Australia to 6030, areas around Clarkson and Tamala Park, and there 4,990 households are registering in mortgage stress, but more than 220 are actually risking default. And so you can see the consistent pattern in the West of difficulty with regard to managing those debts over the long term. And in fact, if you go down the list a bit to 6164, which is the area around Lake Success and Hammond Park, but there 4,790 households are in stress and 355 households risk mortgage default. And in fact, that 355 count is one of the highest counts of default risk across the country, particularly in the West. But if we go down the list slightly further to 3977 down in Melbourne, that's the area around Cranbourne and Cranbourne Chase. There, 4,670 households are in stress, but 540 households risk default. And indeed, that is the highest, most risk-ridden postcode in the country at the moment, looking ahead over the next 12 months. Now, what I've done on this default analysis is to take account of the fact that rates will fall thanks to the cash rate cuts. But nevertheless, default risk continues to mount. And so in summary, we have households who are highly leveraged, we have households who are struggling with mortgage stress, and this at a time when people are being encouraged to get back into the market and the spruikers are out in force saying now is a great time to buy. While I'm afraid that I'm very sceptical of this, look at the amount of debt in the system, look at what this is going to do to households ahead, My concern is that the leading indicators that we see in the West, where prices have fallen for a long time, where deaths continue to rise, is precisely what we could see in some other pockets across the country quite soon. And the amount of deaths in the system is such that it's going to be very hard to see how we're going to get sustainable growth in the property sector ahead. So here's a warning. If you are in mortgage stress, it's worth just looking at your cash flow. Many households don't understand what money is coming in, what money is going out. So draw up a cash flow if you've not got one. Secondly, prioritize and make sure that you are paying the right things and not spending money on things that are really discretionary. And thirdly, remember that if you are in difficulty, that the banks are there, they are required under the hardship clauses to provide assistance. So if you are in difficulty, if you are having difficulty with the cash flow, it's really important to go talk to them and get some advice and help. They may be able to alleviate some of the difficulty. What I can say is from my experience that just trying to refinance your way out of this, if incomes are not rising and cost of living are continuing to rise, is probably fraught with difficulty. And certainly the temptation to put more on credit cards in the short term is one to be avoided, remembering that credit card interest rates are very high and they have to be repaid. So this is an important warning for households that despite all of the noise about property prices and the property cycle turning, the truth about debt is that debt is very high. This is real. And many households are going to find it very difficult to cope over the next few months. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.